Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on June 18th of 2020. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here, I suppose, to start talking about Toonami stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, one Toonami thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the amount we watched has actually kind of dropped down a bit recently for a number of reasons. We've really just got Paranoia Agent right now, don't we?
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, maybe whenever My Hero Academia comes back, which will probably be soon, I think. I don't know if it's this week. We'll finish off that. Although, honestly, we might as well. We already had a decent place to end the season anyway.
Yeah, I heard the next episode was dubbed and it might be out this week. So.
On Toonami or on Funimation site?
On Toonami.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll check into that. All right. Well, I guess we'll get into I hope JoJo comes back or something. Are they bringing something? Because I mean, like My Hero Academia is on reruns. Mob Psycho 100 is reruns. I mean, are we at the point? Because maybe we could come back for the last two episodes because I remember those being decent.
Mm-hmm.
Black Clover kind of finished its arc, so yeah. I don't know. I guess we'll see. But we've got Paranoia Agent episode 8. Okay, so after this episode, I've concluded that this show is too smart for me. Like,
why is that?
Because I was dumb and didn't realize what happened at the end. It was only when I looked it up. And then I rewatched the episode and I'm like, wow, that was super obvious. How did I not notice that?
So explain it to me.
Okay, well, so the plot basically of this is that there are these three characters who have made some kind of online suicide pact. So they kind of just go around trying to kill themselves and not actually managing to. Which is actually surprisingly darkly humorous.
Yeah, I agree.
The funniest one is when they're planning to jump in front of a train, and they're already, and then another guy does it first.
Yeah.
It reminds...
And the girl says, boy, it's really hard to die these days.
That train thing reminded me of what was one of my favorite jokes from the show The King of Queens. So there's this episode where one of the characters finds out his old girlfriend is getting married and he realizes, wait, I'm still in love with her. So they can't like contact her. So they decide to go over to find her and, you know, talk to her. Anyway, the episode is mostly the crazy misadventures and delays they get into on the way there. But they finally make it there. And, you know, they're delayed. So they get there right when the wedding is going on. And the, you know, minister is saying, if anyone objects, speak now or forever hold their peace. And the character is, you know, about to go and step forward and do it. And then another guy in the audience stands up, declares his love for her, and then she runs off with him. So they do that, and so then the episode is mostly just kind of that until the end where the old guy notices that they don't act, and this is something I missed because I did not realize this was what he was noticing and freaking out about, because the episode doesn't explicitly say it. He realizes that none of them have shadows, meaning they're all already dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That, which is, because when he's doing that, I'm like, wait, why is he freaking out? I don't get it. What's going on? And then there's, like, that part, like, where he's kind of collapsed and he's looking at the girl who's, like, kind of kneeling in front of him. And he looks down and now I know he's looking at the fact she doesn't have a shadow. When I watched the episode, I thought he was just being a pervert and was trying to look up her skirt. So yeah, this episode was too smart for me. I didn't realize, I watched the whole thing, didn't realize that. It wasn't until I looked online for something about the episode, because like, well, what was the point of this? I'm, they didn't have Shadow. So that's what that whole thing was about.
Yeah, I saw on GameFAQs, someone said, they were like, at a certain point in this episode, they remembered, oh, this is Paranoia Agent. We better throw in something about Little Slugger. So there's like this tiny bit about Little Slugger in there, and that's it.
Yeah. Like it's... Yeah, it's so weird, because other than that, it doesn't... I mean, I guess it does do one... thing, because so the point they die, I think, is supposed to be when they're in that building and that big like crane thing comes in, and it presumably must have either they die there already, the crane thing actually hit them or something, because they had Shadows before that, but they didn't have Shadows after that. I went back, I went back and checked on it. So yeah, the only thing I was trying to when Lil Slugger, like, there, cuz I guess we kind of knew it before, but Lil Slugger is definitely some kind of supernatural force, because he sees them at the point where no one else is reacting to them.
Right. Yeah.
Because he's like running from them and stuff. Oh, we see his face for, I think, the first time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's another very weird episode.
Yeah.
It's just weird in that it doesn't really have much to do with the show. So
yeah, did you see all the disclaimers they put up on Toonami
For this episode?
Yeah.
I don't think so. What did they say?
Yeah, they had disclaimers before and after the episode. The first one was, warning, this episode contains depictions of suicide, and if you're offended by it, you better like not watch. And then at the end, they say, if you're having suicidal problems, call the suicide hotline. And so yeah, it was like one of these very special episodes that they had to put the disclaimer about it.
Yeah, it's just some other thoughts I had. Well, at the beginning, when they were all meeting up, and they're like, you know, the guys are like seeing the girl, they're like, oh, that can't be her, she's too young. Before it was like, oh, it's a suicide pact, were you like me and thinking, oh, like, they were, was this like some sort of online relationship, and then they found out, oh, crud, she's underage? Because that's what I thought was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But another great part is where they're talking about Lil Slugger, and you know, because they're all like interested in him, and then when he shows up, and they're all super excited and chasing after him because they want to meet him.
Yeah.
And then I don't know why. Maybe you know, or maybe you saw someone who knows, because I don't know. Why does the episode end by zooming in on a condom dispensing machine?
That I do not know.
Because they named the episode after that. It's like the brand is like Happy Family Planning. And that's the name of the episode. But that's got nothing to do with anything. It's just... Maybe it's just weird for the sake of being weird.
Well, I think part of the thing was that the one guy was gay. And that was part of the reason why he was committing suicide. I don't know. I can't tell you, really. Yeah,
that might, maybe not. I don't know. I thought, I just assumed, like, maybe they lost the person, or was Was it? Wait, I can't remember. Was I saw that thing with him, but now I can't remember. Was it him and a character, different character, or was it him and the other character in this episode in the picture? Because I thought it was both, but maybe it was a different person.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay, I can't remember, but it's yeah. That was just like. In a series that had a whole episode where a character imagined everything as a video game, somehow I feel that happy family planning ending was the weirdest thing so far in the show.
No, nothing can beat that episode.
It reminds me of this little joke. So there's this new manga. It's very new. Like there's like five chapters of it out. So basically the premise is that this guy's microwave starts giving him issues of the manga magazine Shonen Jump from the future, and then he starts like taking stuff from them and you know making a manga based on this stuff that's from 10 years in the future. And so right. Just the funny thing, well, here's the thing, so when he's looking through, he says, I don't recognize any of these manga. And I was just saying, okay, So the least realistic thing about this isn't the time travel or the microwave or anything like that. It's the fact that apparently it's the conceit that One Piece won't still be running in 10 years. Yeah, I have no idea if this manga is going to stay around or not. But I just like looked through it. It's okay so far, but. Yeah, I wanted to make that joke at some point. Oh, speaking of manga, The Promised Neverland just ended.
Yeah, I heard about that. And I have no idea whether the series ever got around to becoming, you know, interesting.
Well, the first arc, which the anime encompassed, was easily by far the best part of the series. So if you didn't like that, you're not going to like the rest of it.
Okay, fair enough.
Then again, I mean, I didn't like the anime, but I liked it when I read it in the manga, so I don't know. A lot of people liked the anime, and I just was watching it and was just kind of bored by it. I still don't know why, but I definitely will say, it definitely, the first arc is the best part of the series, so the ending is just kind of, yeah, it's okay.
Yep.
Anyway, let's see. Was there anything else? Okay, so that was Paranoia Agent Episode 8. Yeah, this episode is smarter than I am.
Mm-hmm.
But you actually like noticed all that stuff when you watched it?
Oh no, I while I was watching it, I was looking at all this commentary on the episode.
Oh,
because I was like. Whenever I turned it on, the first thing I saw was that disclaimer. I was like, okay, like, what is going to happen in this episode that is, like, supposed to offend people? So I had to look it up, and then I was just following along with other people's reviews as
okay.
Along, so I was spoiled the whole time.
Okay, so yeah, well, I wasn't. So I watched the episode, had no idea what was going on because I missed because I rewatched that scene again. I'm like, this is so obvious. How did I not figure this out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. So then we've got. That's all of our Toonami stuff. Wow, we dropped down a lot. So we got episode 19. So basically, they bomb away the Daedalus plants, and that's kind of the episode, really.
Yeah, there's a bit in this where they. It's like a version of the opening song, but
mm-hmm.
sung really, really slowly.
Yeah.
And I don't think that song works as well going that slow.
I thought that whole sequence was just kind of boring. Like when it's just because it's just like, you know, showing this montage of stuff and they're singing and I'm like, but like nothing's going on. It's just showing us this stuff that, I mean, I assume it's supposed to do the emotional response of, oh, it's all going to be destroyed. I'm like, where are these places again?
Well, the problem for me is that they, where they were living was so horrible already. Why was it such a big deal that it was getting destroyed? I thought they wanted to get out of there. So they kind of made a big deal about that. And then Karin made a whole bunch of money off it. But at the very end of the episode, Medusa, the thing that goes, help me, that thing starts to go out of control, which means that something might happen. So, yeah. So I actually did like the episode, but I agree that that whole montage was kind of boring in the middle of it.
As is often the case, Karin was the best part of the episode because she was the part that was the most like plot relevant. Although she again is like doing all the carbon trading stuff because she knew this was going to happen with Japan and thus made a bunch of money off of it. You know, we're 19 episodes in. I realize I have no idea what this carbon trading actually involves.
Well, I never learned what it meant, but you know, that was the number one thing I thought you wouldn't like about this. And for some reason, we go back and watch it, and it's like, you like Karin the best, which was funny. But, all that economic, I don't know about.
Well, I mean, I get the fact that it's somehow you can take the amount of because more carbon, it's somehow like the stock market where if you know whether the carbon of a country will go up or down, you can make investment opportunities based on that and make money somehow. I can get that. I'm still confused about exactly what it is they're buying or selling or any of this and all of this stuff, or even how it works, because the carbon. So my understanding is a way it has something to do. There's some reason where if you have a bunch of carbon, your country is more poor. That was why they said Japan was like super poor now, because its carbon index was so high because of all the bombings.
Right.
I'm kind of confused about how that's working, though.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The whole for so long was. I wonder if maybe if I were to rewatch it, I might understand it a little more. But you're rewatching it. Does you understand it better?
A little better, but not much.
Okay, but yeah. So the episode. I mean, it mostly was just like, we gotta launch the bombs. Okay, we'll launch the bombs. That's the episode. Although, no, to be fair, we had that weird chess game between Kuniko's mother and that other guy where she says a bunch of stuff that I think is supposed to be exposition, but it's said so weirdly I have no idea what it means.
Well, did you notice that, like, they have the wrong chess pieces in places? Like, there was a typical castled position, but it was a queen and not a king. So it was like, I was like, okay, this isn't really, I don't know if that was on purpose, but.
I wasn't really paying attention to the chess game. I should have done that to see how it went.
Yeah, I figured you were going to point that out right away.
No, I'm sorry. I just wasn't looking at it. A lot of times I often do look at that sort of thing, but I didn't this time. I just remember the episode of Code Geass where a character moves his king into check. Which is, I, which is actually mentioned. It's like, and then the opponent like is like, because it's one of those things where they're playing chess against each other, but they're really doing like mental battle with each other. You know, like when Light and L play tennis, that sort of thing. So the guy's like, I'm not going to do it. So he moves his knight instead of capturing the king. Look, the only thing I can think of is that in Code Geass's alternate history, because it is an alternate history series, the rules of chess were just different. Okay. So we got that. Then we are on Excel World episode 8. So Haru meets someone who's supposedly his second cousin staying with him while their parents are away, but it isn't actually her. It's just some burst linker person who is doing that because who like forged the email and stuff to get to. Actually, I'm not sure exactly why she did all of this. Because if the goal was to challenge Haru, did she have to go through all this convoluted stuff to do it?
See, became his cousin and then moved into his apartment with them. And then, of course, we had to have the obligatory scene where someone falls and they end up touching each other. And he ends up with his hands right on her chest, which is like, you knew that was going to happen. But it was still pretty funny. And I was like, I know I've heard that voice before. And then I realized it was Tito's voice and Felix from ReZero heard that voice. And my big question was, whenever he said that C reduced his apartment building to rubble, like, is that in the real world? Because that would kill hundreds.
I think that was in the game. I think that was in the game. I was kind of confused about that. It's definitely the game, but I'm not really sure how that works. I guess you can destroy stuff that's in the game that corresponds to reality or something.
Yeah, because I was gonna say, I was like, that would make her a terrorist if she destroyed the entire apartment building.
Well, I mean, she's in, but yeah, like they fight, she wins. I mean, I assume she's going to be a good guy or something because she's in the group shot at the end of the theme song.
Kind of like how I couldn't figure out that Suzuka was going to be a main character in Outlaw Star. I couldn't figure it out.
Oh, actually, there is one time where the opening of the theme song for Bobobo, there's like a part at the end of the theme song, you know, where it like takes all the characters together and they all like, you know, kind of jump out and stuff, you know, about to like attack, you know, it's like the group, it's the obligatory group shot, except one of the characters there never joins the group. He never does. He just is there for like an arc and then is gone. And like, I think appears one or two times later on, but that's it. He never joins the group. It's a fake out.
It would be funny if they did one of those openings and it was a character who appeared in one episode and that was it. Like they had like a one-shot character appear in the opening theme song and never appear again.
Yeah, I always like just wondered whether that was supposed to be a joke or something on Bobo, because like I said, this one character, he's like basically the antagonist for an arc, kind of turns good, appears briefly in like one later episode, and then he's like featured in the theme song with all the other characters. It's like I said, maybe it was just a joke, maybe it was an attempt to try to avoid the whole spoiler thing, or maybe the people who made the theme song just didn't actually really know and just threw me in there. Okay. So, we got that, so Overlord episode 9. They beat the enemies easily. That's what happens in this episode.
Yeah, this this was not that entertaining. I was afraid that I missed something because I was like, really, that this seemed like a waste of time, and I was like, maybe I missed something. I guess that the main character, whose name I still can't pronounce,
Ainz?
Ainz Ogun or something.
I just remember something. Ainz.
Yeah. It basically, is like he lets the opponent like he like toys with her for half the episode, and then he's just like, okay, I'll kill you now, and. And then it's like this really dramatic scene, but it's like so obvious that he had the power to do that from the very beginning. And then they're like, okay, let's go back home. And we're going to put these people who we rescued into slavery because I guess that proves what a good guy he is. I didn't get that at all. that didn't make very much sense.
I mean, I don't think he's necessarily supposed to be the he's definitely not supposed to be the nicest guy. I mean, like, that's why he does like tell her, like, you know, oh, I'm not here to avenge these guys. You just killed them because they were in your way. I would have done the same thing, but they were actually useful to me, and that's why I'm killing you. So yeah, well, yeah. I found it pretty disappointing on the whole. I mean, I was like, okay, Ainz is going to win, presumably, but he just does it so easily. And I actually was it's kind of annoying, because I actually thought, like, Clementine, that was her name, was actually a decent enough, like, villain. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess she's just dead now. Good. Oh, wait, hang on. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here now. Okay. Something happened and I couldn't hear you.
Oh, okay. I was just saying I was a little... Because I thought you was a decent enough villain that could have stuck around for a little longer. Although apparently in some spin-off comedy OVA, she actually does show up again. Where it turns out like she survived and is now terrified of Ainz, but keeps like meeting other like sort of members of his crew and getting beaten up by them. And then at the end is apparently just like so like completely traumatized by the experience that when Ainz actually happens to see her again, he doesn't even recognize her because her face expression is so blank and he's just kind of left sitting just muttering, flowers are pretty.
Where was this at?
It was in some OVA thing. It was like a comedy one. I don't even know if it's supposed to be canon. It just focuses on the, what were they called? Pleiades? Like, that's what Nabe is, I think, one of the people of. It's just, like, the sort of maid people. Okay. Like, focused on them. And she and that Clementine is in there, and she keeps, like, meeting them and keeps getting beaten up and nearly killed. It's called, like, Pure Pleiades. I don't even know if it's in English. yeah, so I've been, like, I was just really disappointed by this episode. I keep going back and forth on Tanya and Overlord because the overpoweredness keeps annoying me. Because like I've reversed again. Because I'm thinking, well, okay, Tanya keeps winning at everything. At least she has to put forth an effort.
Yeah. It's weird that these two shows got chosen for the same crossover. Because they are so similar in the way their main characters always win. And then the other two shows of Isekai Quartet, the main characters always lose.
Well, Subaru wins eventually.
Yeah.
He's like, it's like House, when he like said, like, you know, from the show House, he said at some point, "I'm almost always eventually right." But yeah, that's an interesting point. We do have two kind of overpowered ones going up against the ones who are, who are not. I mean, like I said, Subaru wins his conflicts eventually. Kazuma actually does take down some strong enemies, although it's always a struggle, and he needs help from the others to be able to do it. So, the other thing, though, is the other problem with this episode is, okay, Aizen is super crazy powerful and broken and stuff. Fine. But Nabe is also apparently super crazy powerful broken. So I guess everyone on his team is super crazy overpowered broken. Like, we can't just have one person, we have to have a whole team of them.
Yeah.
It's, I think, because I'm talking a lot, but it's only because I had so many thoughts on this. It's because I have to, like, draw the comparison to One Punch Man, a series that, well, actually, I kind of lost interesting later on anyway. But the thing about One Punch Man is Saitama can get away with it, and it's not just because it's a comedy, although that is part of it. It's the fact the show never expects you. Every time you just know, at least past like the first three or so episodes, he's just going to show up and he beats the enemy with one punch. Or maybe if it's a super strong enemy, he beats them, you know, several punches. But it's never a struggle. You know that's how it goes in One Punch Man. Overlord keeps sort of teasing you, maybe this will be an actual challenge. Oh no, I guess it isn't.
Sorry, I just remembered one of my favorite ever anime jokes was that the second season of One Punch Man was going to include a character named Two Punch Man who did 50 push-ups, 50 pull-ups, 50 squats, and a 5-kilometer run every day. So. That was one of my favorite jokes.
That would be funny to have someone who's just half Saitama or something like that. It's actually, that reminds me of this other great, I just love this part. This is again me listing a manga I don't think you ever heard of, but there's this relatively new manga called Spy Family. It's actually really good, but there's this great part where so the main character, for reasons, he's trying to break into this place to alter the results of these tests, these school tests. Mm-hmm. And there's this other guy, who got hired by someone else to go and do the same thing. Except the other guy is this complete moron who just keeps getting stupidly lucky in order to get through stuff. But here's the funniest part. So, like, this guy, this, like, wannabe spy who names himself Daybreak is trying to... So he gets to, like, the things, and he's going to adjust them, and he's thinking, oh, wait a minute. This is great. I'll make this, and no one will know I did it. Wait, then no one will know I did it, and I won't get any fame. Okay, I'll alter these tests, and then I'll sign my name on them so people know I did it.
Wow.
When that series inevitably gets an anime, you are going to have to watch it because it's really good.
Yeah. I hadn't actually heard of it before now. I'll have to look it up. Spy Family?
It's actually Spy X Family. You know, like Hunter Hunter has the X. It's another series with a silent X.
Is that something in Japanese I've never heard of, or is that just that the X is always silent?
I don't know. Hunter Hunter does it. Spy Family does it. I feel like there's some other series that have an X in it that doesn't like that isn't pronounced. That's just there for flavor. But I'm not sure exactly. But no, I'm sure that it's actually a pretty popular manga series. So I'm sure like maybe 2 years from now it'll get an anime.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see. So that was Overlord. Was there anything else I want to say? Oh, one other thing, and this was another disappointment. Aynes, I mean, he's okay as a character. He's like, I can't say he's like necessarily interesting, but he's passable. Nabe, like, she's nothing, and she's like the only one he's with this arc.
Yeah, really.
Like Albedo could be annoying. At least she had a personality.
Yeah.
I wish like she had been around, although then I probably would have gotten really annoyed with her. I wish there it had been a different character with more. Although the next episode looked like we might be getting something on Shell Tier, so at least that'll be someone more interesting potentially.
Yeah. I just haven't memorized the names of these characters.
Okay, Shaltier is you know, on Isekai Quartet how there's Albedo and that other girl and who kind of fight over Aynes? She's the other one with like the sort of convoluted with like what is it like the sort of like purple outfit.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay,
because And that I think that's just a problem with Overlord. It's okay if the characters easily beat opponents. Well, sometimes it's just you can't have all this time spent on the stuff in order to do it. Oh, and that was the other thing, difference between One Punch Man. One Punch Man actually had other Okay, you know Saitama will win. You don't know that about other characters. So you can at least potentially have something there. But here so even if there's no suspense for Aynes, there could have been for others. But no, Nabe you is just as overpowered.
Yeah. The only problem with One Punch Man is its second season. And focused too much on those lesser characters, mm-hmm. and it was like the whole point of One Punch Man was so you would, you know, get that moment at the end of the episode where Saitama just comes in and finishes everyone off and says a couple of bathroom jokes, and you know that's what the point of the show was, and the second season decided to focus on all these minor characters. And it wasn't that interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I just kind of felt One Punch Man eventually. It's just not a series that can really sustain itself for as long as it tried to. Or maybe it just needed to do more because different things. Or I don't know. I mean, it still had some funny stuff. Some of the jokes when Saitama enters this, like, fighting tournament were actually pretty funny. That was later in the season. Okay. So,
What are we on now? Tanya, the evil?
Yeah, episode 9. We are talking about everything but the things we're supposed to talk about. let's see. So, okay, this was something I was confused about. So at the start, there's a battle, like a big battle, and they're actually sort of struggling, and then it looks like Tanya gets shot, and then it cuts to some other stuff, and then later on, she's like talking to this guy, and I was thinking, okay, was that something that happened later, or did that actually happen, and then the rest of the episode happened, and we just assumed, oh, she like survived because she's good or whatever?
I don't know, so I was really confused about that ending scene where she's like signing this letter about someone who got discharged for getting hurt or something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, I actually thought that was really funny.
Yeah, I did. I just was confused when that happened. Like, did that happen like right after the battle, or did that happen like years later? I couldn't tell.
Happened afterwards, because I remember there's a character, there's some like soldier who was complaining about his stomach or something. And at least he seemed to be having that. So then she was writing that letter about how he had to, you know, be retired and stuff. And then you think like, you know, he's got super injured, but it turned out he just ate a rotten potato.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. Also, it's weird because I was saying last episode I didn't like the new ending as much, but now it's back to the old ending theme. So was that like a one thing? I don't know. Yeah, this episode did have some funny stuff. I liked the part where Tanya is all annoyed, you know, is complaining about being ex again, and it says something like how she wants to beat into his head free market principles. Yeah. So
how many episodes left?
We've got 3. Oh no, wait, hang on, maybe we have more. Let me double check. Let's see. We've got 1, 2, 3. Yeah, there's 3 episodes.
Okay. And yeah. How many for Overlord?
4. In the first season, at least there's 2 more seasons. So there's 26 episodes after that.
Wow. How are they going to sustain this storyline for
well
2 more seasons?
Well, apparently there might be a 4th one coming.
Wow.
I think, we obviously haven't gotten to the end of the season, so maybe something new gets introduced or whatever. It did look, though, from what I read and from the start thing where we saw him of Isekai Quartet, it becomes more a thing of, like, trying more, I don't, like, not really like a show about diplomacy exactly, but about them trying to expand their influence and stuff. So it's not just like, hey, I fight this guy, I win, the end. it would be more sort of like, what's the word for it? Like politics and like military stuff, maybe. Not like politics, like, you know, politics. I mean, like, you know, like scheming on how to gain influence and, you know, take things over and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, it was okay. So we then got Isekai Quartet, episodes 13 and 14, the opening of the season. New season. So the first episode mostly was just kind of saying, hey, here are 3 characters from that show, Rising of the Shield Hero. Why don't you watch Rising of the Shield Hero? Why aren't you watching Rising of the Shield Hero? Go on, watch it. It really did feel like a commercial for it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I was like, okay, they're really forcing these characters on us. And I noticed, we'll get to this in a minute, but it really is starting to feel to me like all these characters, they may be together, but they seem still apart. Like they only seem to interact with the others from their own universe, and they don't really do much with other series, and I just feel like it's losing a great opportunity, you know?
Well, we got some of that, at least when in like the second episode where Kazuma and Aqua were working with those characters from Tanya, except it's all like so in Tanya, you've got Tanya herself, you've got Victoria, and then you have the rest. Like, they aren't, no, hang on, that's not quite fair. The guy who serves as, like, the principal and the person, the guy with the glasses who's, you know, their sort of teacher in Isekai Quartet, they're distinct, but, I mean, the other members of Tanya's battalion are just the rest. They're all pretty interchangeable, really.
Yeah.
But I mean, it still was kind of fun. But I mean, at least it. So of course they decided to group Bean with, you know, the least interesting characters. But they still did focus mostly on Cosmo and Aqua's interactions with them. And we did. I mean, we briefly saw some stuff with Will. Well, like the lesser characters from Overlord and ReZero, when you see like Wilhelm from ReZero and Sebas, the sort of butler guy from Overlord. And I just like, wow, those two look really similar.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was that. I did actually like the fact, cause I was like wondering why Tanya apparently doesn't, cause I was like, well, yeah, but like if she's okay, if she knows Aqua's a goddess or whatever, why not try to figure out how all this works in the cosmology? In this episode, like Claire, I was, oh no, she just thinks Aqua's crazy. She doesn't think that's actually true, and it turns out like no one actually believes her. And then Cosmo was like saying, I don't know what you're talking about, just to annoy her. Yeah, so, that was, so, yeah, they also have a new intro and new outro. I preferred the original ones, although admittedly, they're, for some reason, are not captions. There are not subtitles for them. So, especially in the outro, where the characters are at, where the whole thing is like characters talking, and I have no idea what they're saying.
Yeah, I had a problem with that, too. I like that they were all different characters from the first season, but if I don't know what they're saying, it's kind of pointless.
Yeah, I looked in the I did find a translation online, but it's not really the same as actually seeing it while they're talking.
Right.
But yeah, despite like the stuff with like the Shield Hero stuff, like I mentioned, it's really kind of there as an ad because like they're not even joining their class, they're joining that other class, and so they're just going to kind of be semi background characters. Like I said, I heard that they didn't really have a big role to play, but they just kind of show up in this, and we get a little of them. So, I mean, they were kind of fun. I actually do like the fact they gave the a fairly decent explanation for, like, you know, the premise of Shield Heroes. Like, okay, this is the stuff here. All right, move on. You know, which I was always still annoyed they never actually gave any explanation for Overlord in this series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they did that first episode, or maybe it was second. You get, like, the info dump on Tanya's backstory. You still never get explained, oh, the character in Overlord was a gamer, and the game became real somehow. Like, that, you know, to explain why he thinks differently in a different voice than when he talks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, in the end, these were fun episodes. I did enjoy them. I did laugh at them, and yeah, it was interesting. I'm going to be see what happens now after they, like, you know, got caught and stuff. The next episode is literally named Uh-Oh Detention, so
maybe it'll have a play off that whole trial that Cosmo went on in the beginning of the second season.
Maybe. Let's see. Okay, so that's Isekai Quartet, and that's all of our shows. So we can go to our top three, which, since we're watching fewer things, stuff changed, like, a lot here, actually. So for my first would be Isekai Quartet. My second would be Paranoia Agent. And my third would be, this is a kind of a little tricky one because I wasn't huge on the other shows. I'll go with Saga of Tanya the Evil because it did give me the most laughs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine's pretty different. Third place, I have Paranoia Agent. Second place, I have Shangri-La. And number one for the week would be Excel World because I was very entertained by that whole funny scene between Haruyuki and his quote-unquote cousin, and that part was pretty funny. I just didn't get the whole thing on the apartment building being destroyed. And I'm like, wait a minute. That would kill so many people that, yeah. So, okay, they didn't actually destroy the real building, just in the game, which makes me wonder, like, are these other objects in the game, like, worth points or something, or are they just there, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. So, let's see. Yeah, so that's all of our shows, then. let's see. Yeah, we're getting close to the end of some things. We're getting close to the start of Re:Zero. I'm pretty excited for that. Yeah, I suppose that would be that. Did you have anything else to say?
Not really, no.
All right, so you can see our previous episodes at tsunamitherapy.podbean.com. These episodes usually go up Friday or Saturday, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, me.
Okay, by the way, one final note to mention. So I just was like randomly going on I just randomly saw this advertisement and I was just like, okay, these things are supposed to, you know, figure out, like, these things are supposed to, like, based on like a bunch of stuff, give you stuff relevant for you. Why was there an advertisement for like best swimsuits for large busts? Why, what formula made them think that would be something relevant to me? On the other hand, I suppose maybe that's good because it means, in a way, because it means that, like, what people complain about big data isn't actually that good at figuring out information about me.
Yep.
Then again, I also remember the joke where, like, someone says, oh, no, it would be great. I'd actually be relieved if there were conspiracies and there were people secretly controlling the world and everything, because that would mean that someone in charge was actually competent. All right. Okay. That's it for real. See you next week.
Yeah.